And the moment has arrived to talk bees, Craig, so you can have all your bee questions answered by somebody who knows a lot about these wonderful creatures. We have with us Denzel St. Clair. He is the president of the Lorain County Beekeepers Association. Good morning, Denzel.
Good morning.
So tell me about your interest in, you're obviously the president, so they've worked your interest in this, but how did your interest in becoming a beekeeper really start for you?
Well, this is started by me many years ago by my wife's grandfather. When we first got married, he gave us two colonies of bees, and I have bragged more than once that that was her dowry that she brought to our marriage. And fortunately, that has sustained us for the last 20-25 years after I've retired from LTV Steel. So it was a good thing.
Talk about that. Obviously, were you given a handbook, or were you just given the hives and said, here you go? And how did you learn all of that, what needs to be done to take care of these?
Back in the day, I've been doing this for about 45, 46 years. We didn't have the classes and the things that we have today. And so I was not given a handbook. I was not given an instructor or instructions of any kind. I was given two colonies of bees and said, go with it and see what you can do with it. And fortunately, we made a business and a livelihood out of it.
A business. What kind of business?
The business we have is Queenwright Colonies. Queenwright is jargon, beekeeping jargon, for everything is all right. More generally, or more specifically, rather, it means everything is okay. And as far as a colony of bees concerns, it means the colony is healthy and wealthy. And exactly and specifically, it means that the colony has a functioning queen and everything is going real well in a colony of bees.
How many colonies would you have now?
We run anywhere from 20 to 30 on a normal basis. We have had as many as 200. Maybe 20, 30 years ago when we did a lot of pollination and pollination services around the state of Ohio. But we try to maintain about 20 colonies of bees now, and most of those are maintained just for educational purposes.
Are these indoors or outdoors?
These are all sitting outdoors, and we, again, have them set up as a teaching and a tutorial situation.
We've had a nice winter so far, but previous years have been really, really cold. Does a very cold winter impact a colony?
Yes, and it impacts it in a negative fashion. You have to think of it in terms of the honey would be in terms of fuel. Most of us, when that we have a cold winter, we can go to the thermostat and turn the temperature up, and we're okay. Excuse me. But when a colony of bees, you have a colony of bees, they don't have a thermostat. So what they do is they go to their honey resources and their honey reserves. And from that, they're able to consume honey to generate heat. The more that they have to work to generate heat, the more stress and problems that are associated with a colony because of the cold. Stress is a big factor in bees.
You mentioned how you worked in the past with pollination, and that's really one of the impacts that the honeybees have, besides the consumer aspect of it, that really work for the environment. What is the state of the honeybees and the bees that you are responsible looking after in Ohio? I know we've had things like some sort of parasite, and there's other more dominant type of insects. What's the state right now that you've seen?
That's probably the most asked question in beekeeping today. Just to bring you up to date, there's 19,700 some odd colonies were inspected in the state of Ohio last year. Of the 19,700 colonies inspected by the state, 8,000 or so of them were found to have some kind of parasitic disease, some kind of bacterial disease. There's all kinds of things that associated with disease and stress in beekeeping. That would be acute Israeli parasitic mite syndrome, Nosema, Varroa mites, trachea mites, small high beetle, American foul brood, European, all kinds of diseases that are associated with beekeeping. There's been a huge die-off in California this year. As many as 30 to 40% of the bees were lost. And annually in Ohio, we lose somewhere around 40% of the bees during the winter months. This has been a mild winter, and as a result, we don't know what the effects of it are as yet, but we're looking probably at 20 to 30% loss in the state of Ohio this year. Beekeepers cannot sustain that kind of a loss year. I don't know of any business in the world where that you can sustain a 30 to 40 to 50% loss year in and year out and still survive. And yet beekeepers seem to be clunking along and doing a good job at it. It's a very stressful business as far as a business is concerned. And like anything else, a business aspect of something is a whole lot different than it would be a hobby. And most of the beekeepers around the world and in the United States and the state of Ohio particularly are hobbyist beekeepers. And they don't see the same things as people do that are sideliners or in commercial beekeeping. So beekeeping in general is not doing real well. But beekeepers make the best of what they have. Beekeeping falls under the auspices in the state of Ohio of the Department of Agriculture, and it tends to be an agriculture that people be very optimistic and optimistic, and tomorrow will always be better, the day after that, next year will be better. And so we have a tendency to have an optimistic point of view in beekeeping.
Maybe that's a little bit of the spirit from the bee who seems to just keep going along no matter what happens. Sometimes a hive could be interrupted. Something could be, you take away all their honey, they make more. I mean, it seems to be like they're a good partner for humans.
Well, I hope so. Beekeeping is a fascinating hobby. You know, a lot of times we deal with the negative aspects of beekeeping, but there are a whole lot of positives. We just come from a beekeepers meeting in Worcester this past Saturday. They cap it out at 1,000 beekeepers. They do not allow, because the capacity of the building, they don't allow more than 1,000 beekeepers in the building. And it was packed full. Very optimistic, upbeat people that are very interested in beekeeping. This past Wednesday, we attended the Greater Cleveland Beekeepers Association meeting. We had roughly 100 new beekeepers at that meeting, 157 in attendance. Tonight, we're looking at a meeting that we expect to have somewhere upwards of 100 new beekeepers attend these meetings. So beekeepers do have a tendency to be excited and interested because it is an interesting hobby. And beekeepers do tend to really enjoy this hobby.
And speaking of that, you talked about tonight, you have a first of your kind of classes for beginner beekeeping. What goes into a class, and how do you start as a beekeeper?
Well, you start as a beekeeper with, we would hope, taking a course of some kind, because education is really the factor in beekeeping anymore. With all the problems that are facing honeybees and beekeepers in general, we would like to think that you'd need an education and some a tutorial advice before that you get started into beekeeping. So we start out, it's a progressive course where you start out with very basic things like these are the bees, this is the equipment and the kind of equipment that you need. And then it progresses on through diseases and how to take care of your bees and what to do with them. And it ends up with swarm prevention and getting your bees through winter.
Bruce and I talked before you came in. Let's say I'm out, maybe it's August, September, into early October. I'm out cutting the grass, and there's what I think is a bee flying around. I'm, you know, kind of buzzing me a little bit. Would that be a bee, or might it be a yellow jacket? How can I tell?
The best way to tell the difference between a honeybee and a yellow jacket, a lot of times people are at picnics and things like that, and a bee might be buzzing their sandwich or their drink. Generally speaking, these are not honeybees. What we try to tell the general public is that if it's a fuzzy bee, it's a good bee. If it's a bald bee, it's a bad bee. Typically, hornets, yellow jackets, wasps, and things like that do not have hair follicles, and as a result are not good pollinators. Or that bumblebees, carpenter bees, honeybees, of course, are very hair, not hair challenged like myself. They have hair follicles with which to pick up pollen off of the floral sources. Generally speaking, if you have a bee that is working a flower, whether it's a honeybee or a bumblebee, it's considered to be a good bee and should not be disturbed. We have packaged bees that come in every year. just to put a dollar value on what a honeybee is worth. We have package bees that come in every year. We bring in two semi-loads out of Northern California. And the charge, the basic fee for that, we try to tell people is about a penny and a half per bee.
See, they come in trucks. Some people will get them in the mail, too. That's another
yes,
way.
Yes, they do.
You mentioned about swarming, and we had a couple of years ago, and I was a swarm that showed up. That's where a queen is kicked out of the hive, or and a bunch of other bees follow. You sometimes will see that where they're kind of not setting up, but they're just like suddenly bundling in a tree. Is that what you're talking about? That how do you where does that come into play, and what should be done about something like that?
Well, swarm is generally considered a good characteristic because it's reproductive. Animals and insects across the board that are not in good health do not swarm, generally speaking. So whenever you see a swarm, it's considered to be a good thing and should not be really disturbed unless it is, of course, in a place where it is not particularly useful for the landowner, the property owner, or the individual involved. So swarming is reproduction, and if you have a swarm that it's in a place where that is problematic to you as a landowner, then it would probably be good to call someone like myself or another beekeeper that you may know, and we would be able to come and get those bees for you.
How expensive is the hobby for somebody who's starting? Because you need something to create the hive. You see these boxes that are out there in fields. Is that usually how things start, or what's the usually investment that people will, when you talk to them for these beginning classes?
The investment is really not too bad. It's going to cost a novice beekeeper to get started this year about $300 for your first colony of bees, and after that it goes to about $150 to $200 per colony in addition, because you have some, when you start out, you have some aspects like veil, smoker, hive tool, things like that that you only need one of. And so any additional calling is going to cost you a little bit less. The cost is minimal, but the benefits greatly exceed any kind of cost, because the hobby itself is very interesting, is very challenging mentally, stimulates you mentally, and it's very, very interesting to the general public. So the fun and the enjoyment that is derived from it certainly outweighs any cost. And plus the benefactors of it as far as pollination, we get so much feedback from growers and neighbors that have gardens, vegetable gardens, flower gardens that benefit from this insect, because these bees will fly anywhere from a mile and a half to 2 miles in every direction, cover roughly 86,000 acres. And so everybody that is around a beekeeper derives a direct benefit from beekeeping. And so beekeeping is very beneficial to the public in general, and to the beekeeper in particular.
If you have more than one colony, how close together can they be?
We always recommend the colony should not be any closer than 3 to 4 foot. Because sometimes wind direction can affect the flight of the bee, the bumblebee, the flight of the bee as it goes to flying into the colony can blow it from one colony to the next. And if a bee enters into a strange colony, it won't survive the trespassing.
Yeah, it's amazing how territorial they sort of really are, but it's also fascinating how they can go so far away and find their way back. Right.
It is. Bees have a unique communication system that would rival pretty much our own. If I were to tell you fellas that there is a nice place to eat 2 miles from here, and I have to tell you in this building how to get to that location, I cannot use signs, I cannot use phones, I cannot use any kind of map or directional instrumentation, I cannot use GPS, I have to just tell you that it's 2 miles due east of here, and I can give you a little bit of sample of what that food is like, and maybe put it in your hand and you could get a nibble of it and tell you, all right, now go find that. I don't think that either one of you would be able to find it. However, a honeybee is able to give direction, distance, and even a taste and a smell of the product that they want to the rest of the bees in the colony to go find. And so we are able to actually interpret that bee dance today. We can look at it on the comb. We have researched it and looked at it to such an extent that we can tell you pretty much what we will certainly be able to tell you what direction they're going in, and we will pretty much be able to tell you how far that they're going, because the intensity of the dance, the direction of the dance, is all very well understood today.
Greg, this is fascinating. There's so much to be, and that's what a hobby really is. It's something that maybe you get in for one reason. Maybe you like the taste of honey and you want to make your own honey, or maybe you're interested in the insects and that, but there's more things that can be learned, and that's what the Lorain County Beekeepers Association does here in Lorain County. If people want to find out more about not only the class that's going on, but other things, maybe just to be a part of this hobby work, and they find out details about something.
Well, they can go on to the Lorain County Beekeepers Association website, and they would be able to get about any information they would want for that from that. The thing I would like to emphasize, that the Lorain County Beekeepers Association has been in existence for over 100 years. It was formed in the late 1800s. It was formed or redeveloped in 1919. We have had a good working relationship with the Lorain County Fair ever since then, and the County of Lorain. We work very well with these organizations being around for as long as that we have. Lorain County Beekeepers is just a great organization, and we would certainly like to see anyone that would be willing to attend these meetings.
So who gets to keep the giant inflatable bee that sits on top of that structure during the fair? Where does that
go? Good question. I get the privilege of keeping the giant honeybee. It's a 12-foot honeybee.
Okay, so that is a big bee.
We know.
The big beekeeper has the big bee. We see how that works. Denzel, thanks for coming in this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Denzel Sinclair with the Lorain County Beekeepers Association.